Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Welcome back, friend. I'm your host, Leaning Heist, and I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to introduce you to today's guest, author, and speaker, Arlene Pellicane. Each week, we try to bring you content that encourages, empowers, and equips you to reach the next generation for Christ and to spur you on to pray powerfully and effectively for the kids in your life. We're thrilled to say we've had over 11,000 downloads on our first 10 episodes. This momentum is happening because you are sharing and reviewing the Moms in Prayer podcast. Your reviews on your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes and sharing on Facebook are helping to spread not just our podcast, but also the mission and vision of Moms in Prayer. Darcy Taylor Lau shared our podcast episode on Facebook and introduced us as her new go-to for parent and personal growth. And Ogle Mom 3 said, "Wow, I absolutely love this podcast. Every episode is a home run. Thanks so much for connecting moms with so many great resources to assist us in our 24/7 job of mothering. I'm telling everyone I know about your podcast." You guys can hardly imagine what that feedback means to us. I usually tell people it takes moms about 3 times hearing about the mission of Moms in Prayer before they actually head to our website and find a group. Just this week, one of our young single friends asked if she would be allowed to pray with a Moms in Prayer group because although she isn't a mom, she has a heart for kids. The answer is absolutely, and praise the Lord. Without further ado, I want to introduce you to author, speaker, and Moms in Prayer mom, Arlene Pellicane.
Arlene, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
It is so good to be with you, Lee.
Well, we have gotten to meet a few times in real life, and I just need everybody to know that I really, really enjoy you, and you are fun to be around, but that's not going to help anybody on the other side of the earbud. So tell people about yourself and your family.
Sure. My name is Arlene, and I love being a Moms in Prayer mom. I have 3 children. I have a high schooler now. My oldest just started high school. I have a middle schooler now, and then a 4th grader. And so we've gone from the ease of having 3 children in 1 school to having 1 child in 3. So that's kind of intense.
Yeah, it is.
And then my husband and I have been married for 20 years. He's in real estate and also does ministry, and we've had a great time.
Wow, so fun. We have 3 kids. Actually, we have 4 kids in 3 schools again this year. And just the amount of paperwork that comes home is amazing, isn't it?
You're trying to remember, like, okay, whose teacher is that? Like, you want to keep this clear.
It's such a gift to have good teachers and communication, but I always think, like, we just killed a tree. You sit home notes and we just killed the tree. Okay, you already said you're a Moms in Prayer mom, but tell me that story. How did you get started with Moms in Prayer?
I was blessed enough to have a church who was hosting a Moms in Prayer group on Wednesday nights. And so I thought, I have a child. I need to pray. Like, I'm going to go.
Right.
And so at that time, my son was in 1st grade. And I just remember it wasn't a large group. It was, 3 or 4 ladies. One of them was praying for their college student. One of them was praying for their grandchildren. And one of them was praying for their high school student. And I was so inspired to hear them pray over these kids and to hear them. Once you hear other ladies pray for your child by name, you're like, how can I do this more often? To have those ladies lifting up my son was so amazing. So from the very first meeting on, I was like, I have got to come to this. So I loved it from the beginning. And I really credit Moms in Prayer for keeping my son kind of on the straight and narrow through public school from 1st grade. And now he's in 9th grade.
Do you pray for all of your kids in one group, or do you do different groups for your kids? That's always a question I'm asked.
Yes, I do one group for all of my kids. As we expand through schools, then we just open it up. Like, if there are different moms from the different schools who want to join that first core group, that they can. We end up having still a handful of moms, but that are praying for various elementary, middle, and high school. So we're more bound by the moms, and then we pray for the schools that we're associated with. I will say I started as a church-based group, and then I wanted to bring it home to my house so that more moms from my school would come. So I've actually hosted it at my home, which is just a mile or two away from our school. And so we do have now all of the same kind of school moms that come.
Oh, it's so good. You open your home so that other people can come in and pray. So is your home perfect every week when you invite people in?
It's not, but my sweet husband, James, will be like, you really, like, I'm like a mom. So I feel like they totally get it. Like, it doesn't matter if everything's not picked up. They're just happy they're not hosting at their house. Right. But he's, sweetheart, you have got, like, if people come over, like, you got to have some standards here. Like, if you're going to host it, you need to, like, put the dishes away and, like, have it okay. So it is not spotless, but it is neat and picked up because of my sweet husband.
And that's so funny. A lot of moms do not want to host in their homes because they feel like they need it to be spotless. But just like you said, we're moms. Like, we're in the middle of this thing. We're just taking time to pray. Well, friend, you have a brand new book out called Parents Rising. And I was so excited to hear about that. I want to know how this book, Parents Rising, came about and what you were seeing that drove this book into place.
This book is very important to me. And what drove it is looking around and seeing, why are so many parents afraid? Why are so many parents afraid of, oh, my child might think that's bad, so I can't do that. You know, like, my child is throwing a fit, so I'm going to go ahead and give in. Or my child won't let me, you know, put a bike helmet on them. Things like this that I would see in real life and thinking, are you kidding me? Like, you are the parent. You can do that. You can insist on that. And so situation after situation really drove me to say, we've got to do like a rally and call to parents to say, okay, the parent of yesteryear might have been too strict, but the parent of today is definitely too lenient. So just kind of swinging that pendulum back to say, rise as a parent. It's okay to have boundaries and rules and standards and morals. That is all okay. And how can we empower you as a parent to do that and to lead the home instead of following what your kids are doing? So for the kids not to direct the home, for the parents to direct the home.
Mm-hmm. So how did you decide what proper roles would look like in your home?
Yeah, I'm thinking in terms of the 8 strategies, because there's 8 strategies in the book. So those came from talking to pediatricians, talking to people, and kind of the things that came up over and over again. Now, in terms of roles, then you're looking at, you know, the scripture is so simple and so clear, and you can just say it in a few words. It's children, honor your father and mother. And so there's that role of kids being underneath their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then, of course, fathers, do not exasperate your children, and, you know, things like this. And so having that order of a child obeys a parent, a wife submits to her husband, a husband loves like Christ loved the church, and then everyone is in submission to God. If you can get those things in place and really kind of talk through and live out what does that look like, you're going to live in a more joy-filled home because those rules and order, they're there.
Yeah, and I saw you said children follow and obey parents, not the other way around. And I wonder what it is in society that's driving this right now. Have you thought about that at all?
I think a lot of it is convenience, to be honest with you, because it's much easier to say like, okay, let's do it your way, because your way isn't that awful and it gets me out of having to butt heads with you. So I think a lot of times we are preoccupied with what we have to do on our to-do list and all whatever it is we are doing. And we're not really thinking, okay, how can I proactively parent right now? The priority here is character. We're thinking, wow, it's a lot more convenient to let you watch a movie now while I'm doing X, Y, Z. It's a lot more convenient just to buy you this than to hear you nag about it for the next 30 days. And so convenience plays a lot into it. I think also maybe we didn't have the right role models. Like, maybe we were not parented in that kind of way. And so we're not exactly sure how to do it. Many of us were raised in a broken home. I come from a 2-parent home, but I know many of our listeners will come from a broken home where they went in between families and there weren't clear rules that were set out for them. And they're not sure how to do that with their kids. I think all of these things come into play. I also think, you know, here we are as moms that in many ways we have dampened our fathers. Like, when the dad says something, we say, oh, you don't know what to do. Like, we're the moms. We're the ones who know how to do it. And so a lot of men are afraid to lead in their home when it comes to parenting. And I think that also has to do with it, because a man's role, they're just wired differently. And they're able to say, when a mom says, oh, I'll come rescue you, the dad will say, no, no, you can pick that up on your own, son. You can do that on your own, daughter. You know, and we need that. And I think in a lot of homes, the man has been stifled because the woman kind of calls the shots in the role of parenting.
And it's interesting because a lot of times we do spend more time with our kids than our husbands do, especially when they're young. But dads play a really important role in the life of a child, doesn't he? And the truth is, I don't know about you, but there have been times where I feel like we're entering a new season and I need to readjust. My husband is now in launch mode with our son, getting him ready to leave the home. And that looks different than it did when he was little. And sometimes I think dads can be a little rougher while they're training up our kids to leave the homes than maybe the moms who want to hold back and nurture.
Yeah. And a kid needs both. That's such a nice thing. Sometimes they need to be pushed and sometimes they need to be held.
Yeah.
And a mom can provide that balance.
You have 8 strategies in your book for raising up kids who love God, but I want to focus on 3. And I kind of just picked these because they resonated right now. But the first ones that parents call the shots, that can sound, well, you know, rough. But I think it's a good idea. Tell us about that.
You know, it's kind of comes from this idea of when you're in the grocery store and someone's like, I want that. And you hear the mom or the dad say, no, I'm sorry. You know, we're going to have dinner and you can't have that. And then they escalate and you're thinking in your heart, like, be strong, mom or dad. Like, you can do it. You can do it. But then before you know it, you see the kid like eating the lollipop and you're like, oh, man, the parent gave it. And obviously there are moments where yes, they win and the lollipop is given and that's fine. But if you're facing day after day after day of this and you feel like at every battle my child wins, then you need to go back to say, wait a minute, parents need to call the shots, that I am the one, as we talked about before, it is children obey your parents, not parents obey your children. And even realizing this is scriptural, that when I assert my authority, that's what we're afraid to do. We want to be friends. We want to be nice. We want to be well-liked by our children. So we don't want to assert authority. Authority is evil. I love what Dana Gresh said about my book. She talked about how that the kingdom of God is not a democracy, that there is a ruler. And for your children to understand that there is order in the home and the parent is the authority figure, that helps them as they grow up to realize, hey, this whole relationship with God isn't like a democracy, like I get to have a vote and he gets to have a vote. You know, it's a, hey, we are your servants. Obviously, there is a balance to all of these things. It's not like your children have to walk around saying, yes, you know, my Lord and my master, my mother and father, no. But it is this idea that the parents clearly are in charge and they are the authority figures in the home. And for us as parents, not to shy away from that. That doesn't mean that you're going to be this bad parent. Doesn't mean you're going to be unfriendly or, you know, any of those things. But to really embrace that you are supposed to be the authority, because honor your father and mother. When that's lost, then the culture loses its way. Because then kids don't respect parents, they don't respect teachers, they don't respect police officers, they don't respect future employers, and it all sets the tone for that. So as you say, hey, I'm the parent and I call the shot, that's setting your child up to live more happily and successfully in the world ahead.
Yeah, God's word promises. I mean, if we obey parents, it will go well with them and they'll live a long life. And I don't think that probably means in years. I think that means the quality of the years that they have, because we're supposed to live under this authority.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just hard, isn't it? I don't know if you've had these moments, but I've been in moments where it would have been easier to give them a sucker than leave that shopping cart in the middle of the grocery store to haul them out to the parking lot to deal with the behavior. I'm sure you have too.
Absolutely. And you know, and that's part of that. If you're listening to this and you have young children, and even with teenagers, part of the mindset has to be like, okay, wait a minute. If I've been giving in a lot and I'm going to change, then unless I act different, unless I'm inconvenienced, like nothing's going to be different. To actually go out with a mindset of like, hey, we're going to practice and we're actually going to go to the grocery store. And if I don't get these groceries, it won't be the end of the world. Because the main idea here of going to the store is practicing obedience with my kids. So actually set up your kids and yourself with these little scenarios of practicing obedience where you're okay with, hey, if this falls apart, we can go home and we can deal with this. And that's the priority instead of like coming home with a jug of milk.
That's great. I'm laughing out loud because when my kids were little, we would go to the grocery store and I would say, when we get home, we're going to need to deal with this. And that was my reminding myself that we were going to be dealing with some behavior that happened. Of course, they were old enough, but we started putting little black X's on their hands with a ballpoint pen, you know, while we were in the grocery store so that they could remember that there was consequences for whatever was coming. And I remember the first time I put that mark on one of my daughter's hands, she held it out in front of her like I branded her, you know, and and she just cried and cried and cried. I think people thought I probably removed her hand from her. But the truth is there's blessing that comes when we take our roles.
Yes, very much. And the child thrives under that kind of loving care and boundaries that they know, hey, I can't mess with mama. I can't mess with daddy. That actually gives them security.
It does. Okay, so another strategy that I want to focus on is that the Bible and prayer are present daily in your home.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You know, and this is, and I want to come as a humble fellow mom. This doesn't mean like, oh, Arlene is so amazing. At 4 a.m., she's got her Bible study out and all her kids are memorizing the whole Old Testament, you know. But what this means is if you asked your child, hey, do you ever see your mom, your dad, do they pray? Do you ever see them read the Bible? You would want your child, whether they're 5, 15, 20, to say, oh yeah, I've seen my parent do that on a regular basis, not just in a moment of crisis, not just at a special occasion, but on a regular basis, I see my mom or dad read or pray the Bible. And here's the deal. I used to think like, oh, get all this stuff before they wake up. And then I realized they don't even know I do these things. And so I even encourage parents, set it up that, you know, okay, my kids are awake. I'm going to read a chapter of the Bible in front of them, sitting in a chair, so they know that, hey, mommy and daddy, they read the Bible. I'm going to pray out loud that when my children come home from school and they say, I'm really having a hard time with this math test, they'll say, oh, let's pray about that. God, we pray for this math test. We ask that you give them understanding in Jesus' name, amen. It's not this big, long thing, but right when something happens, go ahead and pray for it on the spot. So both you and your children get used to when we have challenges, the first thing we do is we pray and we ask God. And then read the Bible in front of them, and there'll be seasons. You know, there'll be special seasons where you can do a devotional, let's say for 6 weeks with your tween daughter. And then other weeks, you know, it's too busy and you don't do it. But just have those certain things that you put in your calendar so that the Bible is becoming part of your everyday life with your kids. And so they know it's not just on Sundays, but all throughout the week, I see my parent interact with God's word and pray.
That's so good.
And Moms in Prayer is so cool because your kids know, you know, you can tell them today's Moms in Prayer Day and you can ask them, what would you like the moms to pray for you about? And what a cool memory for a child, let's say for years and years and years, they know there's a group of moms who's been praying for me and what I need and what I need help with. And that is a powerful thing for kids to know people pray for me. And I love it when my kids will say, it doesn't happen often, but once in a while they'll say, Mom, could you have the other moms pray for such and such? And whenever they ask, I think that's so wonderful because it reminds me that they know. They're aware that people are praying for them and they like that.
Oh man, I can't even tell you the number of state coordinators that have said, our Moms in Prayer group got around our daughter or our son on the day that they got married.
Oh.
And they walked down the aisle and we prayed over them again. And I cannot get over the commitment that we make to each other as we pray for each other's kids.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's powerful. And building prayer into the fabric of our home isn't that difficult. There's lots of opportunities to pray throughout the day, isn't there?
There are. You know, you have your meal times. If I drop off the kids, sometimes I drop off the kids to school in a car. Sometimes we bike. But either way, we say a short prayer over them as we travel. So traveling is a great way to pray. At the end of the day provides a wonderful time to pray. So there are, you know, all these little moments. And what I see today with technology is all these little moments we used to have for things like prayer, now they're taken by, oh, let me just check this one more time. So a mom's checking their phone, the kid's on the iPad, they're watching their last show before they go to bed. So I just encourage you moms, take out those screens from the bedrooms, turn off things much earlier in the evening so that there can be those moments of talking and prayer with your kids. It's important.
So good. And the last strategy that you talk about is launching adults and not babying children. Tell me about that too.
You know, sometimes it's us moms that we're the ones, we're not quite ready for our little ones to grow up. And so we have these little traditions and habits. I remember Ethan, our oldest, I had this habit that ever since he was two, at the end of the day, I'd give him a pair of white socks and put him on his feet and ask him about his highlights and his lowlights and pray for him. Well, he is in fifth grade, Lee, and I am like trying to shove the socks on his big old feet. And I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing? Your child is in fifth grade and you are kneeling by his bedside putting on socks on his feet. So I say to him, Ethan, you are way too old for me to be putting socks on your feet. What am I doing? He's like, you are my servant, you know. So I had a good joke about it, but I told him, today's the last day. I will be doing your socks. From this day forward, you will do them yourself. And then how funny, the next day I was like, oh, I need to do my sock thing. So I like took the socks out of the drawer and put them right on his bed. You know, it's like we're so slow to let go of our old habits that keep our kids young. And so I think what we have to do is have, if we're going to rise up as parents, we've got to have this mindset of I am raising a future adult, not I am raising a child. Because if I am raising a future adult, then if they cannot sit still for 5 minutes without an iPad until we get our food at a restaurant, if I'm raising an adult, then I'm going to say, that's a concern. You should be able to sit for 5 minutes without freaking out. But if I'm just having a child, then it's like, oh yeah, let's entertain you all we can. You're a kid. And so this mindset really changes our day-to-day decisions and how we parent. And I think it's very important to realize that, wait a minute, this is a future adult. This is a future leader of a home. This is a future, you know, leader of a church, leader of a moms and prayer group. How can I build their character? And I love what my pastor says. He says, don't do for your children what they can do for themselves. So if there's something your child can do, whether it's packing a lunch or doing laundry or even saying their own prayers instead of you always saying the prayers for them, those are good things to have them start doing.
I'm sure you're up on the toes of more than just me right now. Oh, what a gift it is to know that our kids can do certain things. It changes right. It when I think, I mean, it's comforting as a mom to know that when they leave, they're going to be able to take care of themselves. It shouldn't be threatening to my role as a mom, right?
Well, it is the job that you are working out of. Like you are truly, it's like a really weird thing. It's a consuming job that you are trying to work out of. And, you know, my son Ethan has been riding his bike to school since he was in seventh grade. And now he's in ninth grade and he's changed school. So it's a 40-minute bike ride to go there, but he loves it. And so, of course, this nurturing mom part of me is like horrified. Like, you know, what if a car hits you on your commute, or you know, what if this happens? But obviously, all the what ifs of life, it could happen in any kind of circumstance. And so part of my letting go has just been realizing he needs to be this individual and he's learning independence. You know, I can get to point A to point B by myself without a cell phone. Like I can do these things. And I'm physically strong enough to do it. And I see how mentally it makes him so much sharper at school because he's physically, you know, fit and he's awake. By the end of the bike ride, he's very awake. And so I see how it's so healthy for him. But as a mom, I've had to really zip my lip because I've wanted to say, oh, that's too far. Why don't I just drive you halfway? Or, you know, why don't I help you? And I've really had to work on being quiet and saying, you know what? This is good. He's got this. He can do this. And so that's that whole launching adults. Like you're in ninth grade. In 4 years, you will be in college and I will be nowhere near. So this is a good opportunity for us to do this. And so you're launching an adult. You are not babying a child.
My son, Brendan, it's his first summer with a full job. And so he runs. Yes, he runs cross country with his team over the summer. So they get in 3.5 miles or so. And then he goes straight to a physical labor job. And I pick him up at 6 o'clock and he's exhausted. And for the first few weeks, I don't mind telling you, I was so concerned. I was like, this is too much. I think this is too much. And of course, we need to ask that question. But Sure. Boy, Arlene, he is so proud of himself and maturing into this role that he's been given. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to watch them develop, you know?
That's amazing. I am with you. I would be like, I would be exhausted 6 o'clock at night. Oh no. But he's learning so much and he's accomplishing real life things. So that's the problem about video games. In video games, you accomplish, but it's all virtual and it doesn't translate to your real world. But what your son is doing totally translates to a job, to school, to discipline, to being weary and to keep going. Like he's learning so many good character building things. So kudos to your son.
Well, you know, it's so fun because it's also translated into prayer, because mm-hmm. at night we do the same thing as you do. What was the high? What was the low? And he said, as we were getting ready to cover those things in prayer, would you just pray that I would be smarter than I am? And that's always my prayer at home about something I don't know. Lord, would you just make me smarter than I am right now? And he said, I'm learning how to do things. He was laying flooring that day and he said, I need the Lord to help me be smarter and quicker at understanding this. And I was like, oh, something is happening here that doesn't happen when he plays Fortnite, you know?
Right, exactly.
Oh man, exactly. So
I love that.
I do too, and I'm so grateful for your example. Both of your last two books have just resonated so much. But something happened in between your last two books, and I didn't tell you we were going to talk about this, but you lost your voice for a couple of months, right?
I did. And you know what? It's very strange. So I have seen the doctor. So basically, you know, I was at a Moms in Prayer event, which was so funny. And I had laryngitis and I thought this will just go away. I was sick and was just talking, but it was long lasting. So it was about a 3-month deal. And I was seeing speech therapists and the doctors and all this. And so we got a remedy, which is wonderful, but I still have a residual. My voice works totally fine. But I have this residual dryness in my throat where you always feel like you need a cough drop or a drink of water. And, you know, my husband said just the other day, Arlene, that is not normal, like to always feel like you need a cough drop or drink of water all the time. That is not normal. Like you need to go back to the doctor. So I'm still in that stage of like, Lord, what's going on with it? And I guess it is an example of how sometimes, you know, we have the problems and sometimes they completely go away. Sometimes they're mostly remedied, but a couple issues still stay with you. So for personally, it's just been a reminder, like, Lord, I need you to have a voice. And that has been a good reminder for me. And then otherwise, it's been a bit of a mystery. But I am thankful to be able to talk fine. It's just a little residual that it's still not 100% there.
It's been so fun to have you at a lot of our Unshaken events. And I know our friends will be totally glad for that update on your voice. I loved it in Chicago. I said, hey, Arlene, it's so good to see you. And I hugged you and you were like, wait a minute. I mean, you didn't say anything. You pulled out this piece of paper. Like, I can't talk right now.
Not so humorous. Like God can use anyone. I was a speaker who could not speak. So I'm going to write down to you what I'm going to say because I can't talk. So it was quite a mess.
I don't think that a lot of times people understand how taxing that can be when you have to go mute for 3 months. Did you learn anything in the middle of that?
I learned a lot. I learned patience because it's like the very simple things I couldn't do. It's like just to tell people things. It was like this great effort. I learned empathy. You know, I was at a coffee place one time and I was with my dog, Winston, and then people could tell I wasn't talking. I was like writing things out to my family members. And so they came and you could say that they were sorry for me. Like they thought I was mute or something. I thought like, how funny. They're looking at me and they're thinking this is my service dog and I'm mute. And, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I should be certainly grateful that I can talk most of the time. So it made me more grateful for when I could talk and then a little more, but obviously it was just a very small glimpse of when you can't, how difficult it is. It also showed me most of my interactions were very factual based, you know, like, please take out the dishes. Is your homework done? We have to leave in 5 minutes. And then after a while, I got sick of that. Like, I want to do something more emotional or more spiritual or more kind or whatever. So I have to type out like, that was an amazing book report. You showed a lot of clarity, you know, and then that was so different. And so it showed a lot of our interaction is very mechanical, whether we're speaking or we're typing. And it made me realize like, I need to speak more life whenever I can, like speak encouragement and speak in more interesting ways. So those were just a few things that I learned.
Can you already tell what your kids learned from that experience?
You know, I think one of the main things is that they learn when you have trouble, it goes away. Because we just talked about it recently. Like, remember when mommy couldn't talk? And they're like, yeah. And they realize, like, now that you've been talking for a few months, we've completely forgotten, you know, how we used to have to talk for you. Like, my mom wants to say this, or we had to read what you typed out. So it's like, we remember that we had that, but now it's such a vague memory And so we kind of talk about that when you go through hard times. In the moment, it feels like this is so overwhelming. But a year from the hard time, you may look back at it and say, wow, I barely even remember that. So just to keep that perspective, I think really is the largest lesson that my kids had. And then they got to learn a little bit about speech therapy. My youngest, Lucy, she's 8. She went to the doctor's appointments with me and she became my little home therapist. So she would tell me when I was using my voice correctly or incorrectly. And I think she really enjoyed that. So it was a little career path for her.
Wow, that's such a great opportunity for her too, to be in the middle of that role reversal. That's
exactly.
Arlene, what are you learning about prayer right now? What's shaping your prayer life?
You know, I am using Start With Praise. That is the new Moms in Prayer book that I'm using that in the mornings. And that has really been good because I find that I drift. That's like sometimes it's like, okay, I know what to say. And then other times, oh, I'm saying the same stuff all the time. And so having a resource like that has been really wonderful. So right now it's Start With Praise and I love it.
Well, we didn't plan that at all, but that's so fun. That's Sally's new book.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's great. Arlene, how can people stay in touch with you right now?
They can always stay in touch at my website, arlenepelicane.com, or Facebook. And I have a monthly podcast, a Happy Home podcast. And you can go to my website, arlenepelicane.com, and I have a monthly email newsletter. So there are many ways that we can stay in touch.
That's great. Arlene, would you pray for the parent who you've been on her toes the whole podcast?
Yes, I'm very sorry. I love you very much.
She needs to make some adjustments in this area. Can you pray for her for us as we leave?
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for you are our parent and you teach us how to parent. And Lord, we do not take any guilt. We do not take condemnation, for we know that is not from you. We instead ask you, Lord, show us the areas in our lives where we need to make some changes and then give us wisdom to know what to do. Give us that next step with our children. Give us, first of all, the confidence that comes from being a parent that is ordained by you, that we realize we are to be honored simply because we are the parent. And then show us, Lord, how to teach our children to listen to us, to obey us. Show us, Lord, how we can communicate in better ways with our kids. Show us how to make a connection with our children. Lord, reveal to us what are the main things we need to be working on right now. And then give us tools and help, Lord, when we need it. Show us a friend, God, who would be able to give us good advice. Help us to continue to find our encouragement, our strength in you, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Arlene, you're great. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Lee. It's been great talking with you.
Was Arlene on your parenting toes like she was on mine? I loved when she said a child thrives within boundaries set by a parent. It gives them security. And her reminder to let our kids catch us spending time with the Lord and turning to the Lord first with problems as they arise was so important. As always, our show notes from this episode can be found on the Moms in Prayer blog at momsinprayer.org. Arlene is a speaker at our Unshaken Minnesota Conference, October 5th and 6th in the greater Minneapolis area. If you are anywhere nearby, you'll want to get your tickets before September 1st while they're still only $30. After that date, they will go up to $40, which is still a great cost for such a great conference. Unshaken events are a great way to catch the vision for what God's doing around the world through praying moms, and it's a time of deep encouragement through the Word, incredible worship, and powerful times of prayer. There's still time to register for Unshaken Arizona if you hurry. It's September 7th and 8th. You can find tickets to all our events on the Moms in Prayer website at momsinprayer.org. We love being on this journey with you, friends. If you have stories about how God is working where you are, email us at podcast@momsinprayer.org. Moms make the difference. Moms who sometimes have to put on their bossy pants and step into the authority God has given them. Moms just like you. See you next week.